Ain't I lucky? I have these people in my life.
And now you do too.
So my talk this morning was called Angels Unaware. And this comes from an old verse. Thank you. Hello. Menopause is real. From Hebrews 13, verse 2, King James Version says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, in the Message Bible, which is a really updated one, it says, "Stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed, or a guitar. Why, some have extended hospitality to angels without ever knowing it." So that's really what I want to talk about today, is the angels that we're unaware of. And do we entertain them? Do we see them? Do we even know they're there? Do we dismiss them? Do we close our eyes and walk past them? All good questions. And my very first time speaking here, which was last Father's Day, some of you may remember, I shared a story about my dad, and I'm just going to share it briefly again, that when I was about probably 8, my brother was 10, my little sister was like 4, we were playing out in the front yard, and this woman was coming down the street, and suddenly she turned, opened our front gate, came inside, grabbed my little sister, and started holding her and twisting her like this. My brother and I panicked. We ran in the house. We said, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 there's a lady who's trying to kidnap Cindy." My dad ran out with us, and he didn't get, you know, 1 foot out the door, and he went, "Dear, you need to put her down, and it's really nice to ask people before you pick them up. And the kids need to come in right now, but perhaps you can come back and play another day." Well, I was totally weirded out by this. Why is he being nice to the lady who's kidnapping Cindy? And it turned out what my dad could see instantly is that this wasn't really a lady so much as a teenager or young adult, and she had Down syndrome. So he assessed the situation right away, and when we came inside, he used it as a teaching opportunity. And what he said to me has stuck with me for all these years. He said, "I think it'll be a good idea for you to play with Kathy because she might be an angel who's come to teach you about people who are different from you." And I think every time I see a person with Down syndrome, I'm like, "Angel!" We have all met with angels. We have all met with angels, and often we are absolutely unaware of that fact. And our task is to learn how to be aware so that we can show that hospitality, that love that Paul is talking about in Hebrews. So I read a book recently. I knew I was going to talk on angels, and then I found this book called Proof of Angels, and it was kind of interesting. But he used a lot of, like, when people try to prove something that you can't prove with words but you know in your heart, it doesn't work that well for me. You could really sort of, any argument that he made, there's another argument. But the book was based upon a situation where some policemen were pulling a car out of a that had turned upside down in a river, and they very clearly heard, "We're in here, hurry." And so they were like, "Oh, someone's still alive." They didn't know it. That was found the next morning. They didn't know when the accident had happened. And so they quickly started, you know, they really stepped up the pace. And when they got in there, there was a baby in a car seat, and there was a mother who didn't even have a face anymore. She had been dead for a long time. And they very clearly heard this voice. It never occurred to them that they were hearing an angelic voice. They just heard someone say, "Hurry up, we're in here." And the book was sort of took his story and went on from that. And I'm sure that you all have some kind of story like that. But I'm not necessarily here to share my woo-woo angel stories with you. Because the actual definition of angel, it comes from the Greek angelos, which simply means messenger. So the angels in the Bible are messengers of God. And when you read, there's lots of Bible verses about angels. And when you read about angels, they use the words interchangeably with servants, messengers, prophets, angels, men, armies, that in the same paragraph they'll refer to them with different nouns, that it's obviously that they're obvious that they're talking about the same thing. So that tells me that angels can appear in any guise. Anything with a message might be an angel. And maybe angels are not just messengers. In Psalm 103, verse 20, give praise to the Lord, you, his angels, who are great in strength, doing his orders, and waiting for his voice. So I think when David wrote that, he wasn't writing to some unknown thing that perhaps had wings and was floating around up there somewhere. He was talking to us. You. So angels are messengers who do God's work, carry God's message, and care for God's people. So not only do you have angels in your life, you are angels in the lives of the people around you. And it also says in Psalm 91, one of my favorite psalms, for he will give you into the care of his angels to keep you wherever you go. Now, Charles Fillmore talks about angels as well, and we talk a lot about not taking the Bible terribly literally, thank you, God, in unity, but looking at the metaphysical meanings underneath. And Charles Fillmore says that angels are our spiritual perceptive faculties. They are the parts of us that understand spiritual principles and then inform our minds and our bodies of that spiritual proof, of that spiritual truth. So there is some part of us that is beyond our reason, that is beyond our physiology, that understands and knows spiritual principles. And that part gives the message to the rest of us. I love to be informed by that higher self, instead of just walking around here doing my thing. So our internal angels are the parts of us that really get that we are not just human, that we are divine, and they are the part that carry the message of that divine spirit into the physical realm. So here's a very, very famous old story about angels in Genesis. So Jacob went out from Beersheba to go into Haran. And coming to a certain place, he made it his resting place for the night, for the sun had gone down. And he took one of the stones which were there, and putting it under his head, he went to sleep in that place. And he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, some translations actually say God's messengers ascending and descending on that ladder. And continuing, and he saw the Lord by his side, saying, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. I will give to you and your seed this land on which you are sleeping. Your seed will be like the dust of the earth, covering all the land to the west and the east, to the north, to the south. You and your seed will be the name of blessing to all of the families on earth. And truly I will be with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, guiding you back to this land, and I will not give you up till I have done what I have said to you. And Jacob, awakening from his sleep, said, truly the Lord was in this place, and I was not conscious of it. Now, I think it's really easy to wake up every morning and say, truly, the Lord was in this place, and I was not conscious of it. So that's our job, is to get conscious, is to, as much as possible, bring that consciousness. And awe came on him. I love the word awe. And he said, this is a holy place. This is nothing less than the house of God and the doorway to heaven. And I don't think he meant halfway between Beersheba and Haran. I don't think that's the doorway to heaven. I think waking up from that dream with that awareness is the doorway to heaven, the house of God. So how do we receive the messages that are meant for us. If there are angels delivering messages to us, and you know, I love that it says angels ascending and descending. So we're sending angels up, or angels are going up and they're also coming down. It's not just angels are giving you a message you need to hear. There's an exchange, there's a reciprocity, there's a balance in the messages of the universe. And I love that. So first of all, we got to open our eyes. Pay attention, be on the lookout. And I would say especially, be on the lookout for anyone who is different, anyone who you perceive as other. And I invite you to take a moment inside your heart and look at what's happening in our political landscape today and see what messages might be being offered and who might not look like an angel to you might actually be one who has a very important message for you. Also, be on the lookout for anyone who takes care of us, who teaches us, who blesses us in any way. And especially be on the lookout for anyone who annoys us, makes us crazy or angry, or makes us face ourselves in a way that we really don't want to. Have you ever not been your best self with someone? Like, you're just meeting them for the first time, and you really weren't your best self, and then you found out later, oh, that's the dean of my department, or, you know, whatever. Somebody that kind of was going to be important in your life, and you feel like you've already screwed up. Or somebody that could have been helpful to you, or somebody to whom you could have been of service. Another story connected with my father, when he lay dying in the hospital, I went to the grocery store to pick up some things that we needed. I was staying there in the hospital with him, and I hadn't slept. Any of you who have spent days and days in the hospital know how I slept on an upright chair leaning forward. I hadn't slept. I hadn't bathed. I didn't look too good. I wasn't feeling too good about the world or myself. But I'm in the grocery store line, and who was it? Betty Potts told me that she's the recycling Nazi. Are you here, Betty? Okay, I'm also a recycling Nazi. And so what's happening as I get these like five items that I'm paying for, the bag person is putting one item in one bag, using five bags that are going in the landfill and that will never, ever, ever biodegrade. And so I'm getting angrier and angrier, and I'm about to say something, and I look up, and I see that the bag boy is Down syndrome. And I was like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the message. Thank you. Because this is not who I want to be today. Thank you. And he asked if he could help me out to the car with my little five items in their five bags. And I said, sure, I would love for you to. And I opened my trunk and he said, how are you today? And I said, well, I'm having kind of a hard day. My dad's in the hospital and it's not really a good day. And he said, then I will pray for you. And I felt that. And I was so thankful that at that moment, I had been given the gift of thinking of Down syndrome people as angels 40 years before, so that when presented with this situation, I didn't have to be a you-know-what about four extra plastic bags. I usually bring my own, but I was coming from the hospital. So what has happened in your life? What is happening in your life? Who is in your life at present, and who will you run into that has something for you? That if only you can remember who you really are, you will be able to see what it is that they have to offer you. So opening our eyes is the first part of this. And then slow down. You know, part of the reason I was so angry is I was standing in line at the grocery store and I had places to be. I needed to get back to the hospital. You know, and a lot of times I have just that sort of, when all I need to do is, I need to get back home so I can sit and watch TV. Right? It's not just because there's something urgent going on in my life. I've got into the habit of moving quickly, and I do not adjust down very well. Thank you, Hill Country, for offering me. Because I can feel it happening. It's working on me. I'm slowing down a little bit. So So in whatever way you can slow down, but one of the best ways to slow down is to take some time to meditate. A couple times a day would be great. And then the other thing is that you won't even have to keep your eyes open if you just do this. Assume that everyone who crosses your path is an angel. One of these days, I didn't have enough time to prepare, but one of these days we'll do a song by my friend Gigi called Nothing But Angels. God has sent us nothing but angels. There's a perfect gift in every situation. If we pay attention, we will be able to see there's nothing but angels. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 25, "Come, you who have the blessing of my Father, into the kingdom made ready for you before the world was. For I was in need of food, and you gave it to me. I was in need of drink, and you gave it to me. I was wandering, and you took me in. I had no clothing, and you gave it to me. And when I was ill or in prison, you came to me." And then the upright make answer to him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you in need of food and give it to you, or drink, or see you wandering, or see you without clothing? Or when did we visit you in prison, or when you were ill?" And Jesus will make the answer to them, "Truly I say to you, because you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." I tend to take Jesus' words lots more literally than I take anything else in the Bible. If you do it for another person, you are doing it for God. This part of my ministerial vow that I wrote for myself at my ordination was to allow God to love people and nature through me. To be a continuous channel of love from the divine into whatever needs love. And we live in the kingdom of heaven. If we're aware and if we choose to, that's where we live. Jesus said it's not out there. You can't, it's not this, it's not that, Buddha says. Jesus said it's not out there. If you say it's there or it's there, somebody else is going to get there before you. No, it's among you. It's within you. It's right here. Are you recognizing it? Can you behold the Christ in every face? Can you see God? Gandhi said, if you can't see God in the next face that you see, you might as well stop looking. So when I say behold the Christ, I mean recognizing the Buddha nature. I mean seeing an angel in front of you. I mean namaste. The divine in me honors, recognizes the divine in you. And then we can begin to assume that we are all each other's angels, and not just recognize that we are, but truly inhabit our angel selves, so that we can be of service in the world. And then we'll be entertaining angels aware instead of unaware. Thank you. I'm just going to take that idea into meditation. So take a moment, get your body in a comfortable posture. Back straight, perhaps feet on the floor. I like to feel my connection with earth through the bottoms of my feet and my connection with the heavens through the top of my head. That I am literally, physically, as well as spiritually, that conduit between heaven and earth. I am that which brings divine messages into being, into this world, into physical manifestation. So continue to breathe deeply, and when you breathe, feel as if you are breathing in through the soles of your feet, filling up your belly. And when you exhale, feel as if you're exhaling out through the top of your head, through your crown chakra. Angels ascending from earth into heaven. That is your breath. And as
as we continue to breathe deeply and slowly, make an effort to actually slow down your breath. And think about now reversing that. Feel as if your inhale is coming in through the top of your head from the heavens and filling you up inside, and exhaling through the bottom of your feet, rooting you and connecting you to Mother Earth. And know that you are that. We are that. We are that humanity which informs our divine nature of what it is to be human, to struggle, to be in pain, to have longings, to have desires. And we also are that divine nature that brings the message to our humanity that our sufferings are not in vain, and they're not unheard, and they're not our true nature. They are here to inform us of something, but they are not who we are. I can suffer, but I am not suffering. I am that divine nature. And when I can begin continuing to breathe as we are in this moment, when I can begin to accept that truth for myself, I am the conduit between heaven and earth, between earth and heaven. I am the divine and the human. I am, as this beautiful old Christmas song says beautifully, true man yet very God. True human, yet very God. That's who we are. And we begin to claim that for ourselves. Just say with me quietly, I am that. Together, I am that. And when we get good at claiming that for ourselves, then it's much more easy to see that that is the truth of every human being. Not just the good ones. Not just the like-minded ones. Not just our favorite. Not just the ones in our circles. But that is the purpose of human beings, is to be that conduit between heaven and earth. Ascending and descending with messages for each other in every moment. Just take that truth into the silence for just a moment.